From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, September 5th. I'm Abby Larico. Private water companies have purchased 61 drinking and wastewater systems across Illinois since 2013. Many Metro East towns have been left with a tough debate: spend millions in upkeep or sell to private companies that can afford the expense.
I can't stress this enough. I would not have liked to have sold the treatment plant to Illinois American Water.
St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer explores the pros and cons of public and privately owned water systems. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri House members have advanced a redrawn congressional map that could oust Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
A House committee voted 10-4 to advance Representative Dirk Deaton's legislation adopting the mid-decade redistricting plan. It would split Kansas City into three districts and make Cleaver's heavily Democratic seat much more Republican. Deaton says the map is an improvement from the one lawmakers passed in 2022.
As Governor Kehoe noted, the Missouri First map is more compact, splits fewer counties and fewer municipalities.
Democrats assailed the map as a capitulation to President Donald Trump, who is pressuring GOP-leaning states like Missouri to redraw congressional lines ahead of next year's elections. In Jefferson City, I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Also Thursday, a Missouri House committee voted to make it harder to pass certain ballot measures. Under the proposed constitutional amendment, measures that get on the ballot through the petition process would have to pass in all 8 congressional districts. Those that are put in front of the voters by the legislature would still only take a simple statewide majority. Supporters say the measure ensures that large urban centers cannot overwhelm the rest of the state. But opponents, like Denise Lieberman of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition, say it puts the power in an even smaller group of voters.
All 8 districts are needed. That means that 7% of Missouri voters, which is just more than half of the percent of voters in one district, could override the rest of the state.
A vote in the full House could come next week. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer is using the remaining $12 million in Rams settlement interest funds to help with debris removal and home repairs. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, crews will begin picking up tornado-related debris this week.
Residents in Fountain Park, Lewis Place, Kingsway East, and Penrose can expect cleanup crews through Saturday. Crews will get to all affected neighborhoods throughout the month. Spencer plans to use over $5 million of RAM's interest dollars for dumpsters and for nonprofits and community groups to perform site assessments for removal. She's waiting for the federal government to step in with more cleanup efforts.
The Army Corps has led the debris removal and demolition in other places following disasters the size of the May 16th tornado.
Spencer said the Army Corps is still evaluating the total amount of tornado-related damage. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Boeing announced plans to hire permanent replacements for union workers currently on strike. Boeing St. Louis Vice President of Air Dominance Dan Gillian says the company has started posting jobs and plans to host a job fair on September 16th. Gillian told the media earlier this week that the rejected offer remains on the table, but declined to comment on hiring replacement workers. This step is an escalation from the company, as about 3,200 union workers entered the second month of their strike. The union's international president denounced the hiring plan in a statement. Ameren is aiming to build its largest solar facility yet. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the utility says it needs more power for data centers.
The solar facility would be in mid-Missouri next to the Callaway nuclear plant. Ameren said if plans are approved, it could be serving customers in 2028. In documents filed to Missouri's Public Service Commission, Ameren officials said the new energy is needed in part for large data centers. Company representatives said they are fielding a lot of interest from potential data center customers who will need to buy a lot of power. An Ameren representative said if even 5% of that new need for energy shows up, the company will need to build more power plants. This solar project would be 250 megawatts, which would be Ameren's largest solar facility yet. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missourians who have regularly gotten updated COVID-19 vaccines in the past may have a harder time finding one this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the Federal Food and Drug Administration has limited who can receive the vaccines without a prescription.
The FDA late last month approved three updated COVID-19 vaccines that target new variants of the virus. But the agency approved them only for people with underlying health conditions or who are 65 or older. People with no risk factors can still get the shot, but will need a doctor to sign off on so-called off-label use. That reduces access at CVS and other retail pharmacies where many have gotten vaccinated, says Patrick Aguilar. He's the managing director of health at WashU's Olin Business School.
The other thing that's going to be interesting about this is what degree of motivation consumers have to receive the vaccine in the face of these barriers.
Qualifying health conditions include mental health conditions as well as asthma or pulmonary disease. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal grand jury has indicted two St. Charles County residents, accusing them of harboring people who are in the country illegally. Federal prosecutors say Guo Liang Yi and Di Jin Yi concealed, harbored, and shielded people who entered the United States without legal status. FBI and ICE agents arrested them this week in St. Charles County after raiding a home and the Golden Apple Buffet in St. Peter's. The restaurant has been closed since Tuesday. The charge carries a potential penalty of up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is promising legal action if National Guard troops are deployed to the state. Naval Station Great Lakes is being used to stage ICE employees ahead of a campaign against immigration in Chicago. President Trump has said he'll also send the Guard to control violent crime in the city, but Vice President J.D. Vance said there aren't immediate plans for that. Pritzker says he's ready if it happens.
If National Guard or other military troops are sent to deployed to the city of Chicago, immediately go to court. So that's going to be our first line of defense, is getting a court to issue a TRO or other injunction against that activity.
Pritzker is encouraging protests to stay peaceful. He's concerned that the president will see escalations as rebellion or insurrection and use them to legitimize the Guard's presence. The Salvation Army's East St. Louis location is in need of repairs, and the social service provider is hoping volunteers can help on Saturday. 13 break-ins over the last several months have left the Salvation Army location with broken windows and doors, and it's also forced the nonprofit to temporarily close their food pantry in East St. Louis. The Salvation Army's Kenneth Jones says it wasn't an easy decision.
This is a resource that the community needs, and some families depend on these resources every week and every month. And we serve about 60 families a week. So I knew that if we shut it down, it meant that we would have to deny those people those services.
Those families have been able to use a pantry in Belleville, but Jones is hoping Saturday's cleanup can help get the East St. Louis pantry reopened. As private companies like Illinois American Water expand their footprint in the Metro East, some communities are left with the decision: spend millions to upgrade municipal water systems or sell to a corporation that can afford the upkeep. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer explores the tough question posed to Southwest Illinois towns.
Illinois American Water purchased Granite City's wastewater system last year for $86 million. Here, sewer water is pumped through a thick mesh screen and into large in-ground containers. From there, waste is skimmed off the top. It's then pumped into an aeration tank where microorganisms feast on harmful organic material. And finally, the remaining sludge is taken out of the water before it's sent into the Mississippi River. It's all part of a process that most people don't think about, says Rebecca Losley, the president of Illinois American Water.
A lot of times wastewater is out of sight, out of mind. You flush your toilet, it goes away, and you don't think about it. But when you underinvest in wastewater systems, the impact's on the environment.
The Illinois subsidiary of American Water has added more than 85,000 customers in the Metro East over the last decade. Across the state, American Water and other private companies have bought 61 municipal drinking and wastewater systems since then, spending more than $400 million. Municipal governments have been left with a debate: pay millions to upgrade water infrastructure and keep local control, or sell to a private company, but lose local decision-making. Lois Lee says many communities actually approach them about selling their water infrastructure to the company.
American Water, being the largest water and wastewater company in the United States, we bring a buying power with that and also an expertise that is unmatched.
She says the company can pay for needed upgrades and spread those costs out across a whole region of customers rather than a single city. For some small towns, a private company has worked out better. Just ask Grafton Mayor Mike Morrow.
You're going to always find people that have got a complaint here or there about it, but as far as I'm concerned, from the city aspect, I think it's pretty darn good.
For Grafton, it would take a lot more manpower and money to run their water in-house. But there's also others that say local control is best. Former Alton Mayor Brant Walker would be one of them.
Can't stress this enough. I would not have liked to have sold the treatment plant to Illinois American Water.
The company purchased Alton's facility for nearly $55 million in 2019. Walker faced two problems at the time. First, the wastewater system needed millions in upgrades to get in line with federal mandates. And second, the city was behind on police and firefighter pensions. He felt they were left with no choice but to sell. Now, Walker estimates water bills are almost double. Just to the north, where the water prices have also risen, there's another group working on a solution. Greg Bates is the manager of the Jersey County Rural Water Company.
I think our customers feel like they're being robbed, to be honest. But we have no choice but to pass it on because it's cost of doing business.
Bates and the others say they've had enough, so they're pooling their resources together to build their own treatment plant. Construction is scheduled to start this fall and be up and running by 2028 or 29. The end goal will be a nonprofit. Mark Fumard manages the Fosterburg Water District, who's also in the co-op. He says it's all about keeping local control over prices.
Individuals that are on fixed incomes are now having to decide, do I pay for my prescription or do I pay for my water bill?
Back in Granite City, Illinois American's Lois Lee says it's not lost on the company that many customers are upset with rising prices. But a legislative proposal to shift the costs from the customers to the companies wouldn't help, Lois Lee says. First, it will mean Illinois American Water can't afford to pay a fair market price for the city's water system. And second, it may mean the company could fall behind on repairs.
It's the most vulnerable in our communities that are at risk. It's folks that can't get bottled water whenever there's a water main break, or there's a pump station that's down and our lift station's not delivering water.
The bill didn't get passed the Illinois Senate this spring, but consumer advocates do plan to bring it back in the future. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.